Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
In giving man the ability to hear, God has given him a tremendous blessing. There are many beauties of this world that are lost on those who cannot hear, whether it's the singing of the birds or the crying of a baby, or maybe the music of a beautiful symphony. All these are provided to us as pleasures in this life because we can hear. But hearing also warns us of many of the dangers of our world. I would like for us to make a spiritual application today. There are things that we need to hear. We need to hear in the sense that we need to know them and understand them in order to be warned of the greatest danger of all, and that is a danger to our soul. Today we're going to examine the question, what have you heard about Jesus? Because in the end, that's the most important thing to hear of all. I remember the words of our Lord in John chapter 8 when he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It is vital for man, especially if he wants to be free from sin, that he know the truth that God has given. God has given us a tremendous blessing in revealing his mind to mankind. It would be possible for you and for me to look at nature around us and know that there is a great Creator, one who designed and made all that is about us. But without his revealed will, we would not know how to serve him. We would not know what to do to please him. The Bible reveals God's mind to mankind, and in doing so, it paints for us a picture. It draws for us a map. It shows us the path that we should take. Today we turn our attention to the question, what have you heard about Jesus? It is very important that mankind hear the proper things in order to be warned of the dangers that are around him. And in a spiritual sense, this is very true. We need to hear the truth of God's word because we know that Satan is a liar, that he is the father of lies, and we need to know the truth in order to be able to avoid those lies. It's not possible for mankind to know what to do to please God without first hearing what God's will is. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus had come into the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Many had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, but they had not heard the truth about him. They did not know the truth of the message that he was teaching. Jesus was wanting to know what his disciples understood, so he asked them the question. I'm asking the same question to us today. What have you heard about Jesus? Sadly, the answer in the case of many is that some have heard nothing. Jesus knew that it would be necessary for people to hear in order to obey, and obey in order to be saved. Therefore, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus sent us, his followers, his disciples, into all the world with this great command to teach the gospel. Jesus wants people to hear of him. He wants them to hear the truth. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. This great commission was repeated to him. When the preacher Ananias came to him in Acts chapter 22, it says, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard." Now, Paul took that commission very seriously. The fact that he did is clearly seen as he reminds the elders of the church in Ephesus how he lived and preached among them for a period of years. He claimed to have preached to them everything that they needed to hear. Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. Therefore, Paul could say, "I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." In order that people might be saved, they must hear the whole counsel of God. It is necessary that we hear not part of God's counsel, or not all of some man's counsel, but we must hear the entire message that God has given to us. It is vital that we leave nothing out, that we don't consider some matters to be important and other matters to be trivial, but rather that we take everything that has come from God, we view all of it with the reverence that it is due, and we obey it because God has said it. Not only did Paul preach, he preached all of God's counsel. That means that the people heard a message of purity. They heard a message of truth, truth designed for everyone in the entire world. Now, sadly, some today have heard about Jesus, but have heard lies. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John warns, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is not a new phenomenon. Peter gives us a very similar warning in 2 Peter chapter 2. He does so first by pointing their attention back to the Old Testament times. He said, "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and will bring on themselves swift destruction." Now, if that was the end of the text, we might say, that makes sense. A man who is going to come in secretly and bring in these terrible destructive heresies deserves to bring on himself swift destruction. And if a man were to teach a false doctrine and by doing so to put his soul in jeopardy, that would be a bad thing. But the truth of the matter is much worse than that. For the verse does not end there, but rather 2 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." When a teacher teaches something that is wrong, he leads many astray. Because of this, multitudes of people will be carried away into false doctrines. We need to be warned, and we need to beware. Jesus said in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." When one comes to you to teach you, look at the message that he teaches. Look at the way that he lives his life. Look at the fruit of the message that he teaches. Compare that to what the Bible teaches. If a preacher or a teacher does not have a message that agrees with the Bible, you know he is a false teacher. He might look good. He might sound good. He might be very pleasant and very pleasing in many ways, but he is not teaching the truth. That makes him a false teacher. That makes him one of these ravenous wolves. It makes him one that we need to beware of. Others have heard the truth. Others have heard about Jesus, and they did not hear a lie. They heard the truth, yet sadly they hear it without understanding. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, Jesus asked the question, "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." Here Jesus was talking to a group that knew the Old Testament law very well. They knew that the law said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," but they did not understand what it meant. They heard the truth, but they heard it without understanding. We see in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 27, that Philip the evangelist arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This man had the truth of God's word in his very possession. He was reading from it, yet there were things that he did not understand. It is important that we hear about Jesus. It is important that we hear the truth about Jesus. But that hearing must lead us to understanding. For just knowing the words without understanding them would not be sufficient. Back in the time that I was in college, there was a professor of English who loved the book of Psalms. He had the entire book of Psalms quoted, and he could quote those beautiful poems from that book, yet he did not believe in God. This was a man who had truth in his very hands, who knew many of the words of truth, yet he had no understanding, and therefore he did not believe and would not obey. We must approach God's word with an open and honest heart. We must approach it in such a way that we can read it, that we can hear it, and we understand it and when we understand it, we must obey it. Fortunately, the Bible teaches us that there are those who hear and learn, who do understand. Those people are described in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 44. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught all of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." When we hear the truth, when we learn it to the point of understanding, then we know what to do in order to come to Jesus. Then we have truly been called by the gospel, as Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Then we can be saved. What have you heard about Jesus? I hope you've heard the truth, and I hope that you have heard the truth to the point of understanding. Now it's up to you as to whether or not you will obey. Repent of your sins, confess the Christ, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins.